Hi, Kirby.
Hi, Sarah.
Welcome to Los Angeles.
Welcome, Glamgelinos.
We hope you stay a while.
Cute. That's cute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello.
Well, look who it is. Little baby Sarah Jessica Tan.
Emerged from her cave.
Emerged from... the suckling of the teat.
Oh my god.
Have a podcast episode.
That's all I've been doing. That's like, I was like, oh, what could I update people on the pod? What I've been doing, what I've been wearing, what I've been, nothing. I've just been breastfeeding and trying to sleep. But that's also not happening. So just breastfeeding. But it's been lovely.
Breastfeeding's been lovely. Has it?
The breastfeeding has been a journey. I mean, I feel so lucky because it's always like my milk always comes. It's like easy for, it was easy for Zoe to latch. It's easy for Kate to latch. It's a difficult thing for a lot of women. So I feel very grateful that I'm able to do it. But it is a fucking lot of work. And I know everyone who's done it before knows. And I respect all those who mothers who choose not to. I think it's crazy that you really forget everything from the first time. There's something, right, like biological that makes you forget childbirth and like sleep deprivation and everything from the first time in order for you to be able to continue to reproduce and populate the earth. So yeah,
right
now I'm like, oh yeah, I'm remembering.
Is this it? Is this the last one?
Oh my god. After he popped out of my vagina, which was also a journey, I was like, the first thing I said was, I'm done. No more babies.
Great. We're done yeah. here. Cade, yeah, congratulations.
It. Yes, you had the lineage. And the lineage. But he's so cute.
He is very cute.
It's like hard to like be upset for longer than a minute because you're just, he's just the cutest. And Zoe's being such a good big sister. She's just the best. When she's not running into things.
Right. So Zoe has run into the coffee table yet again. And now twice. Sarah will be getting rid of the coffee table.
Yeah. I did. It's already, I already found another replacement off Facebook Marketplace.
Great.
Yeah. So I've just been fully momming. I've been listening to the guest episodes. And I just want to say, Kirby, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to cry if you... I'm like super hormonal.
Oh my god! What?
Oh my god!
You're crying.
I love you so much, and I just I just feel so grateful to have such like a hardworking, caring, thoughtful partner in all of this.
Oh my god! What is wrong with you? Don't cry.
You're just the best.
Y'all, my face when she, I was like, is she joking? Literally, my eyes are bulging out of my head. I like did not expect.
I'm so grateful for you and everything that you do for me and the podcast and the Glamgelinos. And I know everyone feels the same way. So thank you for holding it down while I've been just fucking reproducing over here.
Little hormonal babies. That's what a partnership is. So no need to thank me. I appreciate it, but no need to thank me. I mean, listen, I don't have baby fever by any means, but when I see videos on TikTok of women with their children, like holding their baby and stuff, I'm like, oh, I have like a little twinge of like, maybe I want a baby.
Oh.
But then I think about everything else. And I'm like, I think I'm too selfish for a child.
You'd figure it out. No pressure to you and Patrick. But we need more good people having babies in this world with how effed up the rest of the country and world are. So, but
I agree.
Fully respect your decision to live a selfish life.
Listen, my parents would be overjoyed if I birthed a child. I also think about that now. You always, like, when you're younger, you're like, oh, biological clock, whatever, who cares? No, like, when you get into your mid-30s, you're like, it's D-Day. Oh, yeah. It's time to decide. Like,
have you considered, like, freezing your eggs?
It's so expensive. As a freelancer, that's, like, not even a possibility. You know what I mean?
No, but, like, Patrick's insurance. This is not getting personal.
Married.
Okay. Well, that's a whole other conversation. Married. I can't get into that.
Although we did talk about it recently. Anyways, not like y'all need to hear this. Yeah. There's something more important that we need to talk about, and that is the Barbie discourse.
Oh, and my God.
I will fight to the death to defend Ryan Gosling.
I was actually shocked because I didn't know that people thought that was a wrong decision, because in my head it was the only decision.
I fully agree. And literally the comments on TikTok's ageist. We just need to get it out there. Everyone on TikTok is ageist. And not by everyone, I mean Gen Z. Gen Z acts like they are so open, they are so welcoming and woke, and that they love everyone and everything, and they want to live. The minute you look old, you are going to hell, according to Gen Z. You have nothing to offer this world. I mean, the comments were insane. They were like, glad to see they brought in Grandpa Ken for this. But, like, insane stuff about Ryan Gosling. And I'm thinking to myself, clearly nobody on TikTok or really any discourse around this movie regarding Ryan Gosling as Ken understands that this movie is not made for small children or even Gen Z. It's made for millennials. It's made for the people that grew up watching him in The Notebook. It's made for the people who remember him in his heyday. And frankly, this man is still smoking hot.
I'm speechless that anyone would disagree. And to your point, Kirby, like, all of the Barbie core, as my sister would call it. Okay, so my sister used to work for Mattel forever and ever and ever. So, like, her knowledge of Barbie, she was just living in a Barbie world for so long. And there's, like, certain, like, Barbie Dream House, the Beach Barbie, like, you know, the core Barbie features. A lot of that was also, like, during our time, our upbringing, Kirby. So, yes, like, this is for our generation.
This is for the people that, like, actually did play with
Barbies. Played with the Barbies, yeah.
Had a life-size Barbie.
Life-size Barbie.
Had a Barbie convertible.
The Barbie Dream House. The Barbie head, where you would do the
makeup. Barbie head, where you could do makeup and hair.
Cut the hair accidentally. Gotta get a new one.
I also think people underestimate Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach. They would not have cast him, Ryan Gosling, if it didn't feed into the storyline. I guarantee you there is some way this is incorporated in the storyline. Otherwise, they could have just booked, like, a bunch of 19-year-olds and called it a day. You know what I mean? It's like there's literally everybody in that movie is at least late 20s, early 30s, if not 40s. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Issa Rae's...
Barbie is a full-fledged adult. Like, Barbie literally is an adult. She holds occupations.
Yes.
She could run for president, for Christ's sake. Literally, Barbie is an adult. Stop shaming Ryan Gosling.
Are they saying anything about Margot Robbie?
No.
Okay.
They haven't said anything about Margot. I do think some of the lighting choices in that movie really do make
Ryan
look older.
Yeah.
Like, there's the scene where he's like, do you want to sleep over?
Yeah.
And you can see, like, all the lines on his forehead and, like, bags under his eyes. And I'm like, go in with digital makeup and, like, fix this. Why did you guys do him so dirty? And there's a girl on Twitter right now that has, like, I'm not even kidding you, a 20-tweet thread of why he doesn't look as great in this movie. And it's because of color theory, and his color palette is much better with, like, brighter, warmer colors versus cool, icy colors.
Yeah,
because
his hair is so icy. Yes, totally. It, like, washes him out.
Even if he had the Ken color, I mean, being spray tanned is a pivotal part of being Ken. But even if his hair was not platinum blonde, like, and it was more
yellow.
Of the yellow.
Yeah.
Like a warm orange.
I remember my Barbies having that, like, yellow orange hair. Or sorry, my Kens.
Kens. My Kens had the orange hair. My Kens were definitely not. I had a brunette Ken and I had an orange haired Ken.
Yeah.
I didn't have, like, a platinum blonde kid.
There must be. We all have to just watch the movie to find out.
I would love for Warner Brothers and anybody that may be listening who works at this company to work with Sarah and I on doing a private screening for Glamgelinos at the Grove. And we can all come dressed up in our Barbiecore. Oh, we can have gift bags for people.
And then like a photo moment with the logo that everyone has obsessed. Gone crazy
The marketing
with.
Team must be thrilled with how many people did that.
Thrilled.
It's going to be the biggest thrilled. Movie of the year, mark my words. This movie is going to kill it.
So you know how there's that news that was like, or not news, but it was like, oh, Amy Schumer was supposed to play Barbie.
Yes.
So my sister said that when she was at Mattel, they were already talking to Amy Schumer. Like this movie has been in the works for so long.
So long.
So long.
So long. And Amy said that it was like a scheduling conflict, but also apparently her vision of what this movie was supposed to be was not what I think Greta wanted it to be or something. And or whoever was previously
attached.
I'm
sure also like Mattel.
Right.
I bet that they have had, you know, obviously had to sign off on everything.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't think it can go too dark.
No, I can't. It's not going to be dark. I think it's going to be light and fun, which is what people want. This is going to be like a cultural experience. People are going to be cheering. If you live in Los Angeles, people are going to be cheering at different parts of this movie. It's like when I went to go see Scream 6, after the opening credits scene, people were like hooting and hollering, like pumping their fists in the air. It was like a moment with the community of people watching
that's
this
so
movie.
Cute. I love that.
I know. It was great. We were like, oh, murder. Yeah.
Okay. Woo-hoo. Yes. We absolutely need to have a private screening. And also, I'm waiting to see what makeup brand has scored the collab.
Maybe I should not say this on this podcast, but please, God, don't let it be MAC.
MAC. I was going to say.
I love MAC. I love MAC. But like, I just feel like they're not going to do it as cool as it needs to be.
Who do you think should do it?
Oh, my God. This is going to be so hard. I don't even know.
Should it be like an LA-based brand?
Okay, I think Too Faced could actually do a really incredible job because remember that Palm Springs palette that they did?
Oh, you're so right.
I think that it needs to be something that you equate with pink. I think of Too Faced when I think of pink makeup, and I think they could do something fun.
They do, yeah, they're super, super fun. Also pink benefit.
Benefit. I just want like a really cool component for like a lipstick. I want like Maine, Jen Atkins' new brand, to do a Barbie brush.
Yes.
Like a paddle brush. Because like look how cute this one is.
Totally.
Like imagine if this was like Barbie pink with like the Barbie logo and so holographic cute. With Maine. How cute is that? Yeah. There are so many ways to merchandise this movie.
Oh, insane.
Hill House. And they could do incredible shoes.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many moments in the trailer that I thought Hill House should be a part of this. Susan Alexandra should do the plastic necklaces and bracelets and earrings, like the seashell necklace.
Oh, yes.
There could be ribbons.
Yes, yes. And, like, Lily Saduhi with her headbands.
Yes.
Bows. The last line.
Some kind of, like, decorative jewels. Yeah. I see it all. But please call the hotline. Tell me your theories on what you think this movie is going to be about. I posted mine on my Instagram in a reel, but I would absolutely love to know if you guys have some like deep insider thoughts on where this movie could go.
Why is there no Skipper, you think?
Maybe they're saving her for the sequel.
Did you have a Skipper?
I had a Skipper. I also had, I think I actually did have Midge, who was pregnant and had the baby in her belly, and you could take her stomach off and like the baby was in there. It was so fucked up.
I don't want to keep talking about this, but I do. I could actually, we could talk about this for the whole episode. But my sister made a point. She was like, it's interesting that they make all of the characters named Barbie. Like, I'm Barbie, because they all had different names.
Really?
When we would buy them. There was an Asian Barbie doll, but her name wasn't Barbie. You know, or like Midge, for example. Her name was Midge.
Midge goes by Midge.
Yeah.
But it's like you had like a Barbie president and that was Barbie. That wasn't like someone else.
Right. Okay.
Right?
Okay. But then they were all blonde.
Okay, right. Okay. It wasn't like a black Barbie. That was like a different Barbie. Like if Barbie was a different skin tone, she wasn't Barbie.
Right.
But I think this plays into the theory that Greta and Noah have, which is like we're all Barbs.
Yep.
We're all Barbs out here. If Nicki Minaj doesn't do a song on the effing soundtrack, what are we doing? What are we doing? Okay. Moving on. We'll like put a disclaimer in the show notes if you guys didn't want to spend 16 minutes hearing us talk about Barbie. All right. We have no wives. And y'all, I'm going to be honest. Sarah and I are a little burnt out on recommending products because
everything is a little bit the same right now.
Yes, everything is the same and we're just getting a little tired of it. I think that WOIF may become something where we don't talk about it every week. You know, we went from early aughts, Sarah and I talking about a WOIF, same episode. Then we were like, okay, we're going to alternate because we can't possibly recommend something every episode. I think now WOIF is only going to happen
if we really, really...
we are truly obsessed with a product, A. And B, if you call in and leave your WOIF, we will play it. I think that's the route we should go.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Cool.
Because... never mind.
What?
Continue.
Okay. That being said, there are an onslaught of sunscreens being born this month. And why do you think that is, Sarah? Why do you think every brand is coming out with a sunscreen?
Because summer is upon us. It seems over the past year, especially the past couple of years, we've had new sunscreens come out every month. And you're like, why is there a sunscreen coming out in December? And then everyone talking about supply chain issues, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think there's a number of reasons. One being because summer is near and everyone is trying to still find their perfect sunscreen. And two, just, you know, everyone is now knowledgeable and educated about the fact that they should be wearing sunscreen every single day.
Yes, I agree.
Whether or not it's summer. And everyone's trying to be innovative as much as they can with the formulations.
You're right. It's consumer demand because they feel like they don't have a full skincare routine without sunscreen. Also, I think it's retailer demand. Retailers are saying, mm-hmm. if you are in this category, you should make a sunscreen. But I did find it really interesting because one of the sunscreens that has been launched is from Kosas. And I don't consider Kosas a skincare brand. I consider it a makeup brand. They launched Kosas Dream Beam SPF 40 PAA or PA +++++, which means that it was tested for UVA rays in addition to the UVB. It's $40. I mean, it's okay. It's really cute. It's flat and it's cute. It's easy to travel with.
It's a mineral sunscreen?
It's a mineral sunscreen and it has a pink finish to counteract the whiteness of the zinc. On me, it truly disappears, but I truly don't know if you have any melanin in your skin, if this will, what this will look like, especially with how much you have to use.
Totally. I was watching some of the videos and I, even on the deeper skin tones, I was like, I don't think that this is going to blend in very well.
Right. And I think people are like, oh, you're using too much. There is a specific amount you have to use. Like so many brands have come out and been like, oh, you're using... no, there's a certain amount you're supposed to literally put on your face. And I do know with consistencies, it differs. I tried this and I did like it. But again, Caucasian woman, I felt like it did kind of give my skin a nice glow. It's definitely like a dewier finish. It looks like it would be a fluid based on the nozzle applicator, but it's not. It's more of a similar consistency to Tower 28 Sunny Days.
Right.
Like almost like a liquid cream that dispenses really easily, doesn't get everywhere, doesn't move, doesn't migrate around. The whole thing, though, is that this is supposed to look good under makeup, and I will say it does not pill under makeup for me.
If I'm being completely honest, I thought that Kosas already had a sunscreen. I don't know why.
No.
I was like... I thought this was already existing, but it doesn't.
Yeah, and I think Kosas is interesting because, you know, they have their deodorant. They have their glycolic body wash. So, like, they do dabble in skincare, you know what I mean, in mm-hmm. A way. So I did find it interesting. I guess, too, if, like, you're doing makeup, you could argue that the first step should be your sunscreen underneath your makeup.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's interesting that they went this route. I'm now really starting to be hypercritical of brands and how much they're charging for sunscreen. I know that there's so much that goes in. Like, I never want to criticize a brand because testing is...
that's a lot of money for a tiny bottle.
This is 1.4 fluid ounces and it's $40. And
you need a lot.
You need a lot. And, I mean, it's not your body, so I guess it's different. formulating and testing a sunscreen is so hard and it costs a lot of money. So maybe they're trying to offset the cost. I don't even feel like this is, I mean, I guess this is on brand with their regular pricing structure. But for me, I was just like, $40 for this small thing? Like, I don't know. We'll see. If you guys have tried this and you have like a dark 4, 5, 6 on the Fitzpatrick scale, I would love to know if this actually disappears.
Yeah.
Then there's Beautystat. Beautystat has one called the Universal Skin Refiner SPF 50. This is essentially their vitamin C with SPF 50 in it. They did clinicals on it. Apparently, it helps with all types of things. But it's $85. $85. Love Ron. Love Beautystat. Like, I have sung this product's, or not product, but I have sung the brand's praises for so long.
I want to know what everyone is willing, what the listeners, Glamagelinos, like, what are you willing to pay for a good sunscreen?
I agree. What is the maximum your amount to pay? And like, what are you looking for? The Inky List just launched their second sunscreen. They had a mineral one that I wasn't a big fan of. They launched a second one. It's based off of their polyglutamic acid product that a lot of people are obsessed with. And so they made the polyglutamic acid dewy sunscreen SPF 30. It hydrates, primes, and protects. It's $15.
Love that.
And listen, I put this on. I tried it for the first time today. It does have like a stick to it, but but when I put my makeup on, it just glides on my skin really, really nicely.
So it is like it does act as a primer.
It does feel like a primer. It does have avobenzone in it, which I know a lot of people are like, that's the thing that like irritates my skin or causes whatever. So again, it's like, there are no perfect sunscreens in the United States because we do not have these better filters that the rest of the world has. I wish we could just catch up already.
Jackie Kilikita at Refinery and Amanda Mitchell wrote a review on the sunscreen about how much they loved it and how it reminded them more of like a cream, like a moisturizer, just like how hydrating it was because of the polyglutamic acid and how it has replaced their use of primer. And like all the things that they need to use in their skincare routine during the day. So that's $15.
Yeah, $15. I mean, honestly, if you're curious, just go out and buy it. Don't buy coffee for 3 days and see how it goes. But I like this one. I think this is a good offering. I mean, honestly, I like the Kosas one too, but I don't know. With zinc, it's always like, do we know if this is going to show up or not? So
I want to know, like, how much are you all willing to pay for a sunscreen?
How much are you willing to pay? If you have a product that is expensive, but you're obsessed with it, call in or text us and tell us why. And if you have like a $5 sunscreen that you can't get enough of, share the wealth and tell us why it's great.
Yeah. Tell us what your favorite sunscreen is. I really, really need to know. Face sunscreen.
We'll do like a blockbuster sunscreen episode with all the people that call in. All right, let's just get into news. Love this. Love this headline so much. Amazon will start to flag frequently returned items. How brilliant is this?
Love that.
So smart. Absolutely genius. I hope that other retailers follow suit. Imagine if you on Sephora, Ulta Beauty, wherever, Nordstrom, wherever you buy, Target, Walmart, wherever you buy your beauty, it lets you know, hey, this has been returned a few times. So this is what the story says. This is from The Verge. Amazon starts flagging frequently returned products that you maybe shouldn't buy. It says that Amazon is starting to warn consumers when products sold on its platform are regularly shipped back for returns. It's rolling out a warning label on frequently returned products that will encourage consumers to check the item details in reviews before making their purchase, helping customers avoid misleading or low-quality products and reducing necessary returns. Another big part of this is that they're hoping that this may help save them money. The free returns policy that they have has a huge environmental cost because it hogs warehouse space until the items can be resold or disposed of in a landfill. It also just has high costs in general to do that. So they have a little picture on the website where it shows you, and it's essentially like a little orange box that is below the description of the product that says frequently returned item. Check the product details and consumer reviews to learn more about this item.
I love how prominently they feature it, you know? It's not like they're hiding it in any way. You click on the item, you scroll through to read the description, and then it's like, bam.
Right.
This has frequently returned. Who's going to buy it after that?
I would be terrified. But I do think it's like a checks and balances thing. Don't put something up if it's a shitty product.
Absolutely.
And you're trying to dupe people.
Yeah. Especially because on Amazon, there's just so many dupes.
Yep.
The counterfeit stuff. Have you been duped before?
No.
On Amazon?
I haven't.
I have. But luckily, you know, like you said, they have such a great return policy. But this would be helpful.
Well, okay, so this is actually interesting. This label is in addition to another label that Amazon has put out, and this was announced on March 17th, that they are testing a new product label that highlights how many sales a product has had. So, for example, Miel, that rosemary mint scalp oil.
Yes.
One of the examples is 100,000 have been bought in the last month.
Wow.
Insane.
It's like a little ticker.
Clearly, people are swarming to buy it. I would actually use that, though, as an indication that maybe something went viral on TikTok and to not buy it. Like, if in the past month 100,000 were purchased, that makes me nervous. Why?
But I bet there are products that do that well all the time, no? Not a ton, but...
No, that's true. I would love to see this at a Sephora.
Good job, Amazon.
I thought this was really uplifting and heartwarming. Experts are using their knowledge to create more inclusivity outside of the beauty industry. So I saw two examples of this, which is why I wanted to call it out. Lacey Redway consulted for The Sims to lend her expertise to create inclusive hairstyles.
Okay, who is Lacey Redway?
Incredible celebrity hairstylist. I mean,
we need to get her on the pod. She's iconic.
She's been doing it for so long. She works on her client roster is incredible. Tessa Thompson, Priyanka Chopra, Anne Hathaway, Elizabeth Olsen, Gabrielle Union. I mean, so many people. She's been featured in every magazine. She's one of the most elite hairstylists out there. Like, she works on Hunter Schafer, too.
It's like art, what she does.
Right.
Like, if you follow what she's done on Tessa Thompson, oh my gosh, it's just stunning.
She joined forces with EA, the company that produces the Sims franchise, to create 5 new inclusive hairstyles for their Growing Together expansion pack. And it was released earlier this month, and the pack features an assortment of hairstyles such as top knots with baby hairs and braids that focus on representing women, men, and children through the Michelson family. And this is what Lacey said. Like in most other industries, representation is still lacking. This is why I'm honored that The Sims acknowledged my expertise through my lived and professional experience. We teamed up to bring more authentic Black hairstyles to their gamers. We created 5 new hairstyles for the Growing Together pack. And you can see here on the Michelsons, I guess that's like the name of the family in The Sims.
Oh, got it. Okay.
And the players will be able to design their Sims in the Create a Sim character creation tool with these new hairstyles. This is fabulous. I love this.
I mean, finally.
They say it's been in the works since February 2022. You know, it's kind of like setting the trend of being more inclusive in video games, which I think is awesome. And I also think it's great that they had a woman like Lacey come in and help guide that.
That's amazing. Congrats, Lacey. That's so cool. And congrats to Sims for landing her.
I think I played The Sims when I was really young, but I haven't been on it. But there is an incredible account on TikTok where this woman plays The Sims. And I can't remember her Sims name. But she's like a hot Cheeto Sim. Like, she has the long nails and she's like bougie and like has her hair did and stuff.
Yeah.
And she will narrate what's going on. Her Sim gets pregnant and is devastated and has to tell the man that she had sex with. And then the guy's devastated. It's literally the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to send you.
I definitely used to play Sims, but it is nowhere near as advanced as it is now.
Right. And if you really think about it, the crazy thing is we're all Sims.
We're all Barbs and we're all Sims.
We're all
That's Barbs the name of the Sims. Episode.
We're all Barbs and Sims. Okay, another important call out. This is actually, it was announced a couple years ago, but I saw a Instagram video from Mob Beauty, the brand, talk about this. So Victor Casale, he's one of the co-creators of Mob Beauty, and he was one of the OGs of MAC. He was the chief chemist and managing director of R&D at MAC. Okay, so like this man,
like, basically built the brand.
Exactly. The video outlines how Vic worked with Crayola to make inclusive crayons in different skin tones so that everybody could find their skin tones. This is from Global Cosmetic News. This is from 2020, so it's actually 3 years ago now. But it says, Victor Casale, formerly chief chemist of MAC Cosmetics and currently CEO of Mob Beauty, partnered with the brand to ensure the range reflected an accurate and inclusive skin tone palette. The final selection features 24 shades from light to deep across rose, almond, and golden undertones to mirror the full spectrum of human complexions. As Crayola CEO Rich Werthiel explains, with the world growing more diverse than ever before, Crayola hopes our new colors of the world crayons will increase representation and foster a greater sense of belonging and acceptance. We want the new colors of the world crayons to advance inclusion within creativity and impact how kids express themselves. And if you look at this color wheel on the website, it's so interesting to see all of the different shades that Vic helped create. It's so cool.
That's amazing. I was watching an episode of Daniel Tiger with Zoe.
Nice.
And one of the characters is like, that Band-Aid doesn't match me. And so then they like went to the factory and made one that matched her skin tone.
Wow.
And then they talked about the importance of diversity and embracing your skin color. I loved it.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
I wonder if they worked with anybody in the beauty industry to make those Band-Aids.
I know. They must have.
I'm curious how different experts in the industry, like hairstylists and makeup artists, cosmetic chemists, can work outside of the industry to make things more inclusive. I think that's really cool. All right, lastly, this was like the big news of the week.
Wow. My jaw dropped. Oh, not because it's surprising, but because of the dollar number value.
Business of Fashion reported that L'Oreal paid $2.5 billion for Aesop. The story headline is, Why L'Oreal Paid $2.5 billion for Aesop. The internet's most memed skincare line, beloved by both insiders and strivers, gives the conglomerate a chance to reconstruct its luxury portfolio. This is by Rachel Strugatz. Sarah, I'm going to be honest. Like, have you seen a meme about Aesop?
No, I was going to ask you that. I was like, I mean, I already feel old, but I was like, what do I not know? The most memed skincare line?
I saw that subhead and I was like, what are you talking about, Rachel? I have no idea what's going on here. And so here it is. L'Oreal, the world's biggest beauty conglomerate by market capitalization, acquired the personal care and grooming line Aesop from Natura for $2.5 billion. This announcement ended months of speculation about who would buy the brand, which has been around since the 1980s, but in recent years has become ubiquitous in the bathrooms of high-end restaurants and upper-middle-class homes, not to mention as a love-hate target of countless Instagram memes. And she kind of explains, like, she talks about Dewy Dudes, and they created the skincare matrix. I don't know if you've seen it, but it kind of like tells how you're classified based on what brands you like, I guess. So it says, on its skincare matrix, Dewy Dudes, the meme page and podcast co-founded by Evan Shin and Emilio Quezada Ibanez, classified Aesop as liberal and elitist. Thayer's is liberal working class. Jack Black is conservative working class. And La Mer is conservative elitist. I know.
I am not. We are not conservative elitists. I will say, like, you walk into any shop in Venice, any home in LA that has Kelly Wurstler inspired decor, you're finding Aesop in the bathroom for sure.
The other people that Rachel interviewed for this, I think, identify as men. One of the things that she says, memes aside, Aesop possesses three things that most other prestige body and personal care brands don't. A large male customer base, a strong network of its own retail stores, approximately 400, and resonance in Asian markets.
Mm.
So maybe the reason why is because they're more male focused. I mean, I obviously know who Aesop is, and I love their products.
And I think it's like a very smart acquisition.
Right. But I was just like, I was like, meme?
Yeah, I know.
Memed? I mean, $2.5 billion. Tatcha was bought for what, $1.7 billion?
Yeah, this has got to be one of the biggest.
This has to be one of the biggest, like, no doubt.
How much was It Cosmetics? A billion?
Something like that. And then Too Faced was like something close to that. Yeah. This is pretty major.
2.5 is, that's a lot of billions.
I have a question, though, for the glams based on this. One of the quotes within this Business of Fashion story says, it's from Alex Hartman. He's a 26-year-old founder of Instagram account Nolita Dirtbag. Do you follow this? Rachel says that he told her that the brand's customer, at least according to meme culture, is an undercover, well-paying job and plays dress-up as creative director on the weekends. They may also own a Western hydrodynamic research hat, a Carhartt jacket, even though they make fun of themselves for still wearing Carhartt. The same goes for Aimé Leon Dior. I have no idea what any of these words mean. I'll just be completely honest.
They make the beanies. It's like an outdoorsy brand, but a lot of people who like don't go outdoors or camp wear it. And then Aimé Leon Dior is like a really trendy, cool men's athleisure sportswear brand.
So lucky I have you. I know what Stussy is.
Stussy.
It says they Stussy. They may have a Stussy tier too, and they probably know about Capital with the K.
I don't know what that is.
But Alex Hartman basically says it's likely they don't own anything from a Japanese brand.
Oh, okay. There you go. I definitely know a few dudes who match this description.
This aesthetic?
Uh-huh. And definitely like Aesop.
Yeah. And he says, you can't just make money selling to kids in LA or New York. You need people in Ohio and Beijing to be buying too. Totally agree with this. And that's why I want to know, our non-LA, non-New York listeners, do you know what Aesop is? I'm just like, oh, it's Aesop. It's been around for forever. It's this, you know, apothecary brand that has this very specific look. It seems more like gender neutral before being gender neutral was a thing. But do you know what Aesop is? Would love to hear from you. And if you do know what Aesop is, please, like, leave us some recs.
Thank you, everyone, for listening this week. We will be back on Friday with another great guest interview.
Make sure you subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Spotify so you don't miss any breaking beauty news or product reviews. And if you want to support us, be sure to follow us at Gloss Angeles Pod on all platforms and join our Facebook group.
Plus, find every product we recommend on our website, glossangelespod.com, as well as links to the stories and news we report each week. You can follow us, your hosts. I'm Sarah Tan, that's S-A-R-A-T-A-N, on all social platforms.
And I'm Kirby Johnson, K-I-R-B-I-E, on all social platforms.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.